Welcome back, listeners, to Words of Life, Love, and Hope, the podcast where we delve into the depths of our being to uncover the true essence of existence. I'm Leanne Thrapp, a seasoned caregiver with almost four decades of experience tending to the sick and dying. Through my journey, I've come to cherish the profound meaning of life, the power of relationships, and the beauty found amidst life's messy tapestry. Join me as we embark on a soul-stirring exploration, navigating the complexities of existence and uncovering the hidden treasures within ourselves. Through heartfelt conversations and introspective reflections, we'll dive deep into the topics that touch the core of our humanity. Together, let's embrace the messiness, navigate the challenges, and celebrate the beauty that surrounds us. As we journey forward, may we open our hearts and our minds to the endless possibilities that await us, and may we find solace and inspiration in the richness of life's tapestry. Today, we are exploring a topic that often goes unnoticed, but deeply affects individuals across various walks of life: moral injury. What happens when our deepest moral beliefs are challenged or violated? How do we navigate the emotional aftermath of witnessing or participating in events that conflict with our sense of right and wrong? Moral injury is a term that has gained recognition in recent years, particularly within the field of psychology and mental health. Yet, it remains a concept that many are unfamiliar with. Today, I'm going to shed light on what moral injury is, how it manifests, and the path towards healing and restoration. While moral injury has gained significant attention in the context of military veterans, it is not limited to this population. The concept of moral injury originated from research conducted with combat veterans, particularly those who served in Vietnam War and later conflicts. However, moral injury is now recognized as a phenomenon that can affect individuals from various backgrounds and professions, including healthcare workers like myself, law enforcement officers, first responders, journalists, and others who are exposed to morally challenging situations. It's a profound wrestling match between one's sense of right and wrong, often exacerbated by feelings of guilt and shame and regret. Imagine a storm raging inside of you, where moments of moral compromise or ethical ambiguity exist, which illuminates the contradictions between one's actions and their deeply held principles. The harm may be something we did, something we witnessed, something we failed to prevent, or something that was done to us. There are no predictable causes, but there are risk factors for moral injury. They include high-stakes situations, such as life or death, pressures to act quickly without time to think, no clear right or wrong choices, and failure to prevent serious harm, and conditions in which doing the right thing is impossible and doing nothing feels terrible. As a nurse, like many healthcare professionals, we face numerous ethical dilemmas and moral distress during the pandemic, including resource allocation, end-of-life care choices, concerns about personal safety and well-being, the vaccine mandate, the erosion of trust that was created, which caused moral uncertainty, helplessness, and distress, contributing to moral injury. Take a moment to recall a time when you felt deep inner conflict, a moment where your values clashed with the demands of a situation. Perhaps it was a decision you made or witnessed. And maybe that decision left you questioning the morality of it all. As you delve into your memories, pick something small. Consider the emotions that surface, the weight of consciousness, the turmoil of conflicting beliefs. Why is that thought in your headspace right now? It might just be a glimpse into the realm of moral injury. So think about that small situation that came up in your mind. We've identified it as inner conflict. You may call it a moral injury. Now what the heck do we do? One of the most profound techniques that I learned during my certification class through the Shea Center for Moral Injury, and one that I personally used before, is letter writing. Writing a letter to address unfinished business, whether it's with oneself, whether it's unfinished business with another person, or a situation, can have a profound therapeutic effect. The act of putting pen to paper allows you to express your emotions freely and without inhibition. Just keep writing. Don't pick pen up from paper. This can be especially cathartic when dealing with some unresolved feelings, such as anger, grief, guilt, resentment. Don't forget shame. Writing provides an opportunity for you to gain clarity and insight into your thoughts and emotions surrounding this unfinished business that bubbled up inside of you. Writing a letter allows you to address the unfinished business directly, even if the recipient is no longer present or alive. It provides a sense of closure by expressing thoughts and feelings or apologies that were never communicated before. It can empower individuals to confront and resolve these lingering issues. Letter writing shifts the focus from feeling powerlessness to taking control of your emotional well-being and healing process. Holding onto these unresolved feelings or situations can be emotionally burdensome. Writing a letter offers a way to release these burdens by externalizing thoughts and emotions into the paper, making them tangible and easier to manage. Writing allows you to explore forgiveness, whether it's forgiving oneself or forgiving others. It provides a platform to extend compassion, understanding, and empathy, which can pave the way for reconciliation and inner peace. Through the process of writing, you can integrate this experience into your narrative of self and life. And this integration is essential for moving forward and making meaning out of past events. Writing a letter to your unfinished business is often just one step in a larger journey of growth and healing, but an important one. It can serve as a starting point for further self-exploration, therapy, or personal development. It's private, and it's personal, and it's between you and the paper and the unfinished business. It works. I'm reminded of a letter I've received from a colleague after she penned a letter to her unfinished business. It went like this. My self-talk. Maybe expressing myself in writing without sending the letter was better than just having the angry, sad, and debilitating thoughts in my head and not doing anything. So, I penned the letter to my dad's oncologist. 2 days later, I decided to mail it. I expressed to the physician, and it sounded like this. My dad so truly trusted you, but that could have been a better story if you would have been honest with him and told him that he had limited time to live and to enjoy the time you have with your family. You control your end, not me. This colleague did hear back from her father's oncologist. They met, talked it over, and were both able to grow, heal, and learn. She did extend grace, and acknowledged that everyone is deserving of compassion, understanding, and second chances, even her father's oncologist, who, by the way, thanked her immensely. So in turn, she was able to release and have freedom from within. This grace offers the possibility of restoration and redemption. It recognizes that healing is a journey of transformation and renewal, characterized by hope and resilience and the potential for positive change. By extending grace to oneself and others, you can cultivate a sense of hope, possibility, and renewal, embracing the opportunity for growth and healing in the aftermath of moral injury. For additional information on moral injury, please visit the Shea Center for Moral Injury at Volunteers of America. It's a great site, easy to follow, lots of great videos on there. I end today with a poem by Rumi, which I do believe we've had on our podcast before, but it's very powerful and very much in alignment with moral injury. It's a reminder that no matter what life throws at us, our attitude of gratitude to meet it without fear and shrinking back will eventually allow us to become wiser, kinder, and more self-compassionate, especially as it relates to moral injury. The poem by Rumi is called The Guest House. Remember? This being human is a guest house. Every morning a new arrival. A joy, a depression, a meanness. Some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all, even if they are a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture. Still, treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice, meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whatever comes, because each has been sent as a guide from beyond. Wow. Listeners, I would like to invite you to learn more about New Haven Healing Center at our website, newhavenhealing.org. Thank you so much. Appreciate your support. Randy and Pamela Kopis from the musical group 2002 generously allow me to use their music. Today's beautiful music is called Dancing with a Princess. It's from one of my favorite albums, The Land of Forever. Please download their music. I invite feedback and suggestions and ideas for future episodes. Until next time, stay beautiful.